Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
This week marks the first anniversary of the death of Aisling Murphy. And you'll remember at the time we spoke at length to people on the programme here over a number of days about whether they feel safe in Ireland as a man or a woman. And now in marking the 1 year anniversary, I just wanted to chat to people today about, well, how safe do you feel? Róisín is with me on the line today. Róisín, do you feel safe in Ireland now in 2023?
No, I definitely don't. I mean, as a young woman, we're always seeing things on social media and on the news about violence against women. And, you know, really violence against women is an epidemic. And I think the government response has been so slow to it. Like, how can we feel safe? I don't think there are any real protections. There have been very small steps over the last year, very small ones, in terms of pushing legislation along to make women feel more protected. But there really isn't much. I mean, you know, even like me and my friends, you know, say, for example, if we're in the back of a taxi, we'll bring, and I'm sure so many women, if they're listening, have done the same, like, we'll bring a friend that isn't even at home, but like kind of pretend that they're there and let them know that we'll be home soon, you know, just in case anything happens to us, or like let our friend hold like keys between our fingers, and just have our location on with our close friends, you know, things like that. And I think Ireland just really is a very scary place to be a young woman. And I think last year there was a big conversation started on you know, violence against women, but we don't need more conversations, we need like real action.
How do we bring that real action in though, Róisín? You know, how do you measure a tangible change?
I think a big way that we can feel safer is seeing that, you know, our elected representatives are doing things for us. I mean, things like funding things like rape crisis centres have to turn away at least 600 people a year, because they're just so chronically underfunded. And stalking legislation in Ireland, like, you have campaigners like Eve McDonald from Stalking Ireland doing Trojan work, but they're still, the government has been so slow at bringing those steps in. And I think if we just measure like what protections we have here in Ireland compared to other parts of the country, even like if we're talking the island of Ireland, like the north is one of the most dangerous places in Europe to be a woman, with the amount of deaths that there is and violence against women and the lack of legislation. So I think, to be honest, we need to start seeing action from public representatives.
Okay, stay with us, Róisín. I just want to chat to people today about this. I mean, just to get your thoughts on it. 1800 453 106 is the number. Our reporter Mairead Cleary is with me as well today, because Mairead, just I suppose in taking your news hat off for a minute, you've actually changed some of your own behaviours in order to feel safe.
Yeah, and it's funny. I didn't think it was unusual until I was having a chat in the newsroom here in News Talk about it. I live with two other women. We're all in our early to mid 20s and we all run, we all walk, pretty keen house for that every evening. And we actually naturally all stopped doing that in the winter. We all stopped going out, all three of us, going for our runs in the evenings or in the mornings like we usually do from about probably April to September, mid-October maybe. And we all three of us have a gym membership now. And I probably won't renew it again once the evenings get longer. And that was kind of a subconscious thing. I didn't think was that unusual. It's not something we even talked about in the house until I said it to someone outside of our own little mid-20s female bubble, that actually was unusual. That's a weird thing to do.
So that change in the going out for the run, the solo run on your own or out for a walk in the evening, that came about because you didn't feel safe to do that. You just...
Yeah, I mean, there is a feeling, I suppose, that it's hard to explain, but I know that most people listening to this has felt it, man or woman. You know, you turn down your earphones rather, you're aware of your surroundings, you're checking your back, you're trying to keep where the public are still, try and keep with people as much as you can, go to busy streets. You know, in the summer I'm in Phoenix Park nearly every day. I haven't been now in a few months, and that's just the way it's been for the last few years for me living in Dublin.
Just because it's darker and from 4 o'clock in the afternoon,
exactly, yeah,
not as many people about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly that.
And like, is that something that many people do you think many people have sort of made that kind of just changed their behaviours, daily things they do? And And nearly not even kind of realising at the time that it is a kind of a safety move.
It is, yeah, I think so. I think, and even it shows in Nights Out, for example, you know, when we're going out, we talk about the taxi shortage all the time here in the news. And there could be a taxi shortage and you might prearrange, oh, Kira, do you want to stay with me tonight? Because, you know, she lives the opposite side of town. So there's no point her getting a taxi by herself. The three of us would all get a taxi together. You make these adjustments and they actually become so part of normal life. It's when you're actually talking about the reason why you're making those decisions. That's when the dark truth really shows its head.
And yet, Roisin, these are things that we shouldn't have to do. And funny, when you mentioned that point about the phone, like, I would know myself, I would often find myself, even still, things like nearly pretending you're on the phone sometimes if you walk past someone to kind of say, like, oh, I'll be there in 2 minutes. Or, you know, you use the point, Mairead, about being out on a night out. You'll always say to people, give us a text when you get home. And there is that kind of checking in that still goes on.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many things we do that I don't think men would even, like, think of half the time to do themselves, or, like, would never even realise we're doing, like, to try and protect ourselves. Like, even when Mairead was saying there about, like, stopping walking or running when the night got, like, darker, I'm thinking me and my housemates did the same thing back in December. We actually stopped going out, and, you know, there's just so many things that run through our heads that I don't think men think of just in the same, like, protective sort of way that we do.
Now, I know we're going to get messages in here on 53106 from people who are going to talk about the number of attacks and assaults that happen on men. And absolutely, look, it's not, you know, a gender isolated discussion. I mean, we're just asking people today about what's their experience and how safe do you feel, whether you're a man or woman, whatever. If you want to get in touch with us, please do, and share your experience with us on the programme today. I see a text in from Nikki who says, what I find really interesting but also slightly worrying is how normal these unusual behaviours have become. My friends and I always check in on each other after a night out to make sure that we made it home okay. And I often walk with my keys in my hand so that if I am attacked, I have some form of a weapon with me. It's awful how normal these things have become. See, that's the thing, Mairead, isn't it? Like, you didn't even think your own move was unusual until you said it to other people.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really when you scratch the why. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you texting your friends? Why are you pretending to be on the phone to someone saying, I'll be there in 2 minutes? That's when, I suppose, the ugly truth comes out. And I do think perhaps the pandemic made our streets for a short time even more intimidating. It was so quiet going for runs and walks, especially in the city centre. It gave that feeling of eeriness that no one was around and, you know, no other eyes, third party eyes, to keep an eye on you. Now, thankfully, at least the streets are a little bit busier now. But it is funny. It does become second nature to you to just make decisions for your own safety.
Mm. Aileen is with us as well on the line. Aileen, you've daughters. Like, do you worry about their safety?
I do, yeah. I have three daughters, two in their early 20s and one in her late teens. And I certainly worry about them. I mean, you know, if at home, and obviously, you know, at their age, they're entitled to go out and they're entitled, you know, to be town late or whatever. You know, I would all worry, and, you know, I won't wait up, but I'll certainly get up and I'll look at text or I'll try ringing them. And I'm always concerned about their safety because I suppose, I'm concerned about my own safety. Again, you know, I do a bit of running. I'm training for a marathon, so I don't have an option but keep running, even though it's dark. And there are plenty of evenings I don't feel like going for a run, because it's dark, but also because I don't like being in the dark for all the reasons that have been outlined there. And, you know, taking precautions while I'm running has become part of the package of the whole thing. I mean, I don't even wear earphones. I heard somebody saying there they turn down their headphones or their music. I don't put anything in my ears because I'm absolutely entirely conscious that I need to be, you know, in my senses all the time. I have my phone set to ring home, as in the number's already programmed in, so that I just have to press the call button if I'm overly concerned.
I'm just going to cut across you there, Aileen, for one moment, because I just want to try and reconnect with you there on the line, because they're just some fascinating points. But, like, when you're chatting, Mairead, to your own friends beyond the housemates, like, is there a feeling of intimidation that kind of comes with, because you talked about not running in the Phoenix Park in the late afternoon, now we're in the early evening, just given the time of year that we're in, but does that feeling of intimidation exist among most women? Like,
I would argue so. Yeah, like I say, you know, I have most of my friends and close friends would be girls and women. And, you know, I've two sisters and no brothers. So a lot of women in my life in general. And I do believe that there is a sense in some settings, there are settings where you have your guard up. You have your guard up on nights out. There's moments in nights out as well. You are relaxed. You're having the time of your life. Then you're going down to the chipper. You're waiting for a taxi. There are moments throughout the night where your sense of alertness is heightened. The sense of intimidation is heightened, where you can just tell the vibe, as you say, the vibe is off. There's something off right now. And I think it presents itself at different times. It can present itself. It doesn't have to be a night out or pitch black. It can be the middle of the day waiting for a bus and you just sense there's something up right now. Someone is looking at me strangely. Someone's staring at me. People don't realise the intimidation of just staring, or an unwanted comment sometimes, you know, smile, love, something like that. It sets you back in your confidence. Why do you feel the need to tell me how to act? You know, it's just those small little acts, I suppose, where people think they have the right to comment on you.
Yeah. Does that happen frequently?
Mixed experiences. Sometimes it can be funny. You nearly have a run. That's just me personally, but you nearly have a run of a few experiences like that. Like someone saying smile, love, or someone staring you out of it in the bus. And then it might be nothing again for months and months. So I'm sure it's different for everyone. And like, these things are so hard to change. We talk about societal changes because they are uncontrollable. Mm. People are just behaving how they're going to behave. So when we say, what can the government do in those kind of small sense of intimidation, what can they do really? It's just individuals in some way intimidating.
Yeah, well, you'd imagine the very nature of this conversation today, that the very fact that we're having this discussion, you know, I certainly feel that I have felt a lot more people talk, kind of nearly check their behaviour somewhat a little bit in the last 12 months or so. And maybe that's because, unfortunately, we've had so much discussion around this over the past 12 months that there's definitely, I just think there's more awareness around the discourse of it a little bit.
I would absolutely agree. And especially, like we say, it is not gendered. But I will say, I do think a lot of my male friends are become aware. Like, you hear them saying stuff, lightheartedly telling stories when they're walking down the street and they actually cross the road because they realise they're walking behind the one woman for the last mile. Do you know, some people have become more aware of things like that, even though they are no danger. But
no,
I suppose they're aware
that
might, you know, might being interpreted.
1800 453 106, the number if you want to join us here on Lunchtime Live. Aileen, you're back. Just give me those sort of practical examples that you mentioned again, and like things again that we shouldn't, that you shouldn't have to do, but that you do when you're going out for the run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what I was saying was that, you know, taking precautions has just become part of my running routine because I have to, I with work and everything, I have to run in the evenings in the dark, even though I don't want to. So I don't wear anything in my ears because I want to be, you know, in my full senses and fully conscious of my surroundings and noise and everything the entire time that I'm running. I have my phone with me always. And I have my home number or my husband's number programmed into my phone already on, just ready to press the call button if anything, you know, too sinister anything happens. I try and run on brightly lit streets. I have ducked into gardens of houses where there's lights and doors open if I have felt that there's somebody coming behind me. Now, most of the time there isn't, but I mean, I have been followed a couple of times on runs. Late in the evenings, and I have been made very nervous. I've had men run after me. They're not running after me, but they're just running to shout abuse, or sometimes it's just a bit of harassment, or, you know, keep going there, love, or whatever else it is. But it can be very intimidating, especially if you are running in the dark. And taking precautions when I go running has just become part of the whole process. I also have, I find my phone thing on my phone to make sure that, you know, if anything went badly wrong, that my phone can be tracked, and, you know, hopefully I'd be tracked also there. I also, on my three daughters, while they don't like it, I do have a tracker on their phone. Again, I don't use it.
Very rarely.
It's not like I'm stalking them or anything, but I like to, you know, if I like to have a check on it to make sure that I kind of have an idea, you know, if they're very late home, of where they might be. And as I say, you know, I don't want to be doing any of this. You know, this is just, so it's I suppose it's become precautionary running rather than just running, you know, because, as I say, I am quite nervous now, and I used to be.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Aileen. Like, Has it, you know, has it changed, or are we, why do we take all these precautions now? Or did you always do that? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of, has it got worse in recent years?
Well, I mean, again, I mean, I can only talk from experience, but I, you know, it is only in the last few years that I have felt nervous, because I have, as I say, I have had it being shouted at me. I have been, you know, harassed when I'm running, and I suppose because, you know, we hear so much about gender-based violence, and because of, you know, the death of Ashton Murphy, and because of numerous other attacks against women, you know, it's more there in your consciousness. So, you know, I've certainly become way more cautious, and I suppose what I'm always aware of is that, you know, we only talk about the reported incidents to the guards, but you know, I know plenty of people, and you know, lots of unreported cases of harassment and assault, and you know, just general abuse and harassment, by, you know, plenty of my women friends who, you know, whether they're walking home from town or you know, whatever else. I mean, I think, you know, that there's you know, I think there's something, I think, you know, worldwide about a third of all women experience some sort of physical or sexual violence. And, you know, I think that experience shows when you talk with among a group of women friends what their experience is, and, you know, their feelings about, you know, walking alone, as I say, or running alone in the dark.
I have a text in here from a listener who says, when I go for a walk, bringing a dog for a walk, or bring my daughter, I always bring a knife with me and always make sure that I have it with me in the car. I know what I'm doing is illegal, and I would be prepared to answer questions afterwards. I knew that if I ever had to use it, I would do without hesitating. Where I live, nobody is out walking after 7 in the evening.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
And you're listening to Lunchtime Live, where we've been talking for the past few minutes today on the show about this week. It marks the first anniversary of the death of Aisling Murphy. It's hard to believe it's a year ago. And we're just chatting to people today about whether or not you feel safe in Ireland. And we've had Mairead and Aileen and Roisin with us on the line. Elaine is also with us today on the programme. Elaine, how safe do you feel in Ireland?
I feel safe, as in I feel as safe as I always have. But I was listening to the other callers there, and I think we're talking about whether it's getting worse or whether it's getting better. I think, like a lot of things with the media that we have, we're hearing about it more. We're learning about more instances. Doesn't necessarily mean it's happening more often. I think that there's always been a need for caution when people go out on their own, particularly at night.
One of the things that struck me, you know, like since we started chatting about this today, Elaine, the various different kind of measures, I suppose, that we as women take, and sometimes without even much knowledge, you know, that we're doing it because of, you know, safety concerns. But like even Mairead talking about running with the group, or, you know, now joining the gym and not going for runs in the afternoon, and Roisin talking about, like, you know, she's out for a walk holding her keys in her hand and this kind of thing. Like, do you do stuff like that even just by way of safety concerns?
So avoiding getting into a situation is definitely the best way of keeping yourself safe. I do all those things. I have done self-defense training myself, but I also believe that there will be times where you may not be able to avoid it, and we don't cover enough on what to do in a situation that can't be avoided. And I think that's where we hear some of the outliers who are in very unfortunate situations, where they found themselves in a position where they were unable to get away or to avoid. Nobody wants to be in that position. And I think when we look at some of the studies done in some of the prisons around the world, the people who are there, sometimes they're there because of whatever way their brain chemistry is. They don't have the same empathy as other people, or they go out looking for this. They know how to prey on people. They know how to see somebody who is vulnerable, who's not paying attention, maybe who has headphones in, or maybe somebody who is consciously not looking at their surroundings, head down, walking as fast as they can, and not aware of everything that's going on.
Isn't there something so wrong, Elaine, with the fact that we would have to alter routes or, you know, like avoid a certain road or street or like, I suppose these are all things we shouldn't have to do, you know, and yet, like...
We shouldn't have to do it. And I really, really agree with that.
Yeah.
But from the dawn of time, this has been part of human nature. And I think if we say, well, we shouldn't do it because we shouldn't have to do it, it's like putting your head in the sand. And I think we should be doing a lot more with regards to physical education classes for boys and for girls, that, you know, if you get into a situation that cannot be avoided, that they're able to do something okay. about it. And they do it in other countries. So I don't know why we wouldn't do it yeah. here. And simply not doing it because we shouldn't have to do it is not acknowledging
okay.
what it is.
Okay. A text in from a listener here who says, I'm scared stiff of my daughter's drink being spiked on a night out as well. I think it's something that should also be mentioned in the context of the conversation today. It seems to be quite common nowadays, says this texter. Stay with us, Elaine. I've Aisling on the line as well. Aisling, you've been listening to the discussion today. Why did you get in touch?
I moved off to Dublin right at the end of all the COVID lockdowns last February. And I've had issues. I live in Fibsborough, so quite close to the city centre. I usually can't get a taxi if I'm out late. So if I'm out, you know, after nightclub, 2 or 3 o'clock, it's very difficult to get a taxi. So I end up walking home. And because it's not far, it should be fine. But I've had some, like, awful experiences with being followed, being heckled, you know. And I put those safety methods in place, you know, I always have my headphones in, but I don't have any music playing so that I can hear what's going on around me. But then when they shout at me, that they might think that I can't hear them and that I'm not ignoring them because you don't want to upset them anymore. But recently, coming up to the Christmas period, I had an issue where there was a man shouting at me and following me at the top of O'Connell Street and did not back off. And there were other people around and no one did anything. So in the end, I stopped at a shop, like, quite near home, and I waited for him to go. And he turned the top of the corner, the top of the street, and I was like, okay, he's gone now. And then when I walked up, he was, like, stood but kind of in a corner where I wouldn't see him. So he was waiting for me to pass him. So I waited for another 10 minutes, and he was still there. And I just had a stranger walked past me. I decided he looked friendly enough, so I went up to him and I was like, oh, there you are, and loudly, and then quietly said to him, there's a man following me. Would you mind walking with me until he's gone? And that stranger did that, and he walked me to my door,
did
made
he?
Sure I was okay. But that was a really scary experience. And then over Christmas, I found it very difficult to go out because I was too nervous.
It must have been so intimidating, Aisling.
Yeah, it was awful. And then you hear, you know, there was a case in Britain where a man followed 3 women home, and the last woman ended up, you know, dead. And like that happened after what happened to me. So it's really scary.
Would it put you, like, I know there's a whole lot we talk about, you know, getting home and transport and taxis and all of that. But like, would it make you hesitate or think twice about going out?
It did, yeah. Over Christmas, every evening, you know, I went out and I only stayed out until 10 o'clock because I wanted to make sure that I would be able to get a bus home. And like be able to get home safe. I wasn't able to stay out late at night as I usually would. And it really did change my behaviour. And, you know, we can say that predators will target people who they see to be weak. But even if every person is strong and has their wits about them and knows what they're doing, that can't save everyone.
No.
It's not going to work, you know. You can do everything right and things can still go wrong.
And only for as you say, the good nature of the other person, you know, the passerby, that you were able to say to them, can I walk with you or will you walk with me? And, you know, because you're
very lucky that person was kind, you know, and didn't take advantage, you know, because then that person walked me to my door. And then it was when I got to my door that I was like, oh, I'm unsafe now because I've just brought a stranger to my front door.
When you told people about this, Aisling, how did they, you know, family or friends, what was their reaction?
They all had a go at me for not getting a taxi home. And they all kind of said, you know, you need to be more careful. And I said, I know I will be. But they were all appalled. And, you know, they've heard a lot of stories. But the reason, and I like, I don't want to scare anyone.
No, I
know. Tell them these stories, but I want people to know, because I do everything I can to be safe, and I want to make sure that my friends and family, they don't see it as a remote possibility, that they realise it could happen to them, and then what they can do in those situations if they do happen to them.
I'm sure you got the fright of your life.
I did,
you know, yeah. I can only imagine trying to think, you know, as you're describing it, like you're trying to play it out in your head, you know, about what you do, and you know, you're probably looking around to see if there's a guard nearby, and you think you're on O'Connell Street, like you're on the capital city's, you know, our main street, and you're standing
actually,
in a shop.
I choose to walk home on O'Connell Street because there's a Garda presence there.
Yeah,
usually there's a Garda van there, so I'm like, if anything does happen, and there's always people around.
Yeah.
It was at the top kind of, so it was, you know, it was where there was no one. There was no one around, really.
It's incredible, Aisling. Like, and I know when the texts are coming in saying, you know, people shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't have to walk down busy streets. You shouldn't have to walk down streets with, you know, CCTV cameras. And yet, just heard your example, and we all do it. And like most of the people I've talked to today on the show all take some form of, you know, measures or whatever you want to call it, whether we should do or have to, we do, you know.
And I thought it was really interesting here about the people that have stopped running in the evening.
I know.
Because I live next to the canal, so I usually, like over the summer, I walk the canal every day. And then as soon as the nights got shorter, I stopped, just because I was like, you just don't want to be out in the dark.
So Mairead was saying that earlier, like about joining the gym with her housemates, to not have to go out in the late afternoon or early evening when it's dark to go for a run. Let me bring in Alan as well, Aisling. Alan is on the line. Alan, why did you get in touch?
I listened to the programme, and I'm a taxi driver working from Dublin Airport. And some years ago, I was dropping a passenger about 12 o'clock at night around the Spawell Hotel. And as if the road was empty except for one girl and two guys. And I noticed the girl looking over her shoulder. She looked very nervous. So I dropped the passenger not too far from where she was. And I drove back around as quick as I could, pulled in beside her. And I said, "Excuse me, are you okay?" And she said, "No, I'm very nervous. Those two guys, every time I cross the road, they cross over after me. When I cross back the other side, they cross over." And I said, "Look, jump in the car." I said, "I'll drop you home. If you normally don't, I'm not, there's no charge." I said, "Just jump in the car," and I said, "I'll have you home in 10 minutes. So I dropped the girl home then.
Fair play to Alan for doing that.
I still remember it to this day.
Yeah, you could obviously sense it.
Your programme reminded me of it. And I often think of it, that, you know, but as a taxi driver in Dublin, and I live in Blanchardstown, we would always, or I would, wait till the girl gets into our hall door. And that's almost every taxi driver I know. But I always remember that girl. She was very nervous, and I got her to our hall door, waited till she went in, and she said, "Thank you very much." And I said, "Look, you're home safe now, don't worry about it."
Yeah. Fair play to you, Alan, for doing that, you know, because and it's interesting to hear that so many taxis, actually, now that you say it, you know, I'm thinking back of even getting out of a taxi there over the weekend, and you know, they often do wait until you go in the door or shut the door, you know, and it's amazing to think that you're doing that as a safety measure nearly, you know, to make sure somebody got in.
Yeah, the guys will wait till you get in the hall door. If you go on your own, they will wait. But that must have been about 9 years ago when this
was
happened.
It?
And
it was
12 o'clock at night. And it just struck me that she looked very nervous.
Yeah.
And I often wonder, like, you know, if I hadn't, you know, what would have happened?
I know. Well, no, we'll hope not think about it. But listen, fair play to you for doing that, Alan, and for getting in touch today as well. Aisling, too, for joining us in the programme. There's more people getting in touch, more emails coming in here, actually. Lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's the email address if you want to share your experience with us on the programme today. Elaine, Aisling, Alan, thank you for joining us on the show.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.